Well, good morning. We said in the first service, and I think I need it again, selfishly would like to pray specifically for this message because we're coming across a passage, a scripture that has created some wrong thinking and some false cults, and I want us to really have wisdom in this passage, and God says to pray for wisdom, James said earlier, and so we really want to do that. That's about faith and about true faith. There's actually different kinds of faith, and we want to make sure that each one here this morning has the kind of faith that really leads to salvation and leads to that eternal home in glory. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we pray for your guidance as we once again preach through this passage. We pray for understanding. We pray for application in our own lives. You know each one better than we know ourselves. You know the intent. You know the faith. You know the love for you. You know our hearts. And Lord, we've been talking about through James that keeps preaching. It's what you do. And it's a faith that works. It's seen in our lives, and that salvation really does bring a difference in people's lives, that before and after shot. And if we're not living that way, and if we don't even have the want to, then we need to think seriously about our salvation. So, Lord, we just pray for strength and courage and to take that look and to pray for one another. As James says, we're part of that family of God with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're talking about having a real faith as opposed to a false faith that some people have thinking that they're going to heaven and they're really not. I mean, the Bible's very clear about this. Sometimes he says, people say, didn't we do this in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. There's different reasons. There's different types of faith. Actually, there's that dead faith that James is going to be talking about. Sometimes people have that kind of faith that they claim to have faith or that they believe that Jesus is Lord, that they believe there is a God, that it's an intellectual faith, and they've read the Bible, and they know everything that is involved and how to act and how to speak and what to do. And Matthew 7:21, Jesus says it's only those who do the will of the Father. And that everything that we do has to be done in faith. That is a key to Christianity. We're saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We please God by faith, Hebrews 11:6, and if anything we do that is apart from faith, then he says that's a sin, and Romans 14:23. But substituting words for faith is a dead faith. Anybody can say we're Christian. Anybody can say that you believe in God. But James, remember, is from that show me state, Jerusalem. You know, it has show me. You know, anybody can say you're a Christian, but I want to see it in your lifestyle and what you're doing. Is there something really different in your life that is not the same for a non-Christian person, you know? Or are we so caught up in the world that it's hard to distinguish that Christian from the non-Christian? He says that could be a dead faith, which does not lead to salvation. It believes, it's an intellectual belief, and it said that some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches, which is a distance from your head to your heart. Well, I don't know if it is or not, but somebody said that. But it's something to take very serious. This passage is something to take very serious, okay? As we do this, I don't know your heart, your intent. The Bible says, you know, people say don't judge. Well, we don't judge as far as passing judgment on other people, and we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it does also say, you shall know by their fruit. Are people acting differently? Jesus said, when you become saved, you become a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Okay? So sometimes somebody's lying, and I don't think it's Jesus. You know, it's a false faith that people have. What we're talking about this morning is easy believism. Okay? that isn't saving grace, is not saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just an intellectual experience. It's something to philosophize about or psychologically to think about, but never to do, you know. People can actually know the Bible forwards and backwards, but it's still a dead faith. There's also a demonic faith that James is going to talk about here. And that's, did you know, okay, that there's no such thing as an atheistic or agnostic demon? Yeah, think about it. They believe in God. Are they saved? No, that's a demonic faith. They tremble. And the word here that's using, and we'll read it and get it in Scripture, just a little background in a minute, it says to bristle. At the name of Jesus, it says demons, Satan, their hair bristle, it stands up. They're fearful at the very name. They know, you know, the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, demons are no fools. They know there is a God, okay, at the name of the Lord. They tremble with fear. You know, it's like the hair on your back. Well, maybe I have. I have hair on my back. Maybe you don't. But it's like when you're so scared, you're so fearful. I've seen dogs do that, and the hair just raises up on their back. You know, and that's what it says. They fear and trembling. There's no question in Satan's life and demons' life that there is a God. Is that saving faith? No. They have faith. They know that there is a God. They're not. They believe in hell. They bear witness to a sonship, but then there's a dynamic faith we're going to talk about that is real, and that's that faith that does. That's that faith, that saving faith, and he gives several illustrations about that in this passage in Abraham and Rahab, and so we'll talk about that. So we're talking about real faith. What is saving faith? What makes it real? You know, we live in a nation that looks for the real. We want to look for the real thing. Coke has that. Has used that cliche, the real thing, you know, for years. There's a book out, I think it's pretty old, Real Men Don't Eat Quiche. So if you want to be a real man, you know, and that's the thing, real people, reality shows is a big thing today. You want to see the real, what's real life? We want real leather, you know, we want real coffee. And James is saying here, this is how to have a real faith as opposed to a phony religion. A counterfeit. There's a lot of counterfeit, okay, religions out there. There's a lot of counterfeit Christianity out there. There's a lot of fake believers out there. And I say that this is a hard message because we have to get serious. This is very serious. In verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? And then the last verse, 26, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It's actually saying, you know, hello, if you're not a true follower of Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You know, you can say you believe, but now we're talking about deeds, okay? About a true faith, the kind that saves. Now, we have to lay some foundations here in what the Bible says, and it even goes back to Abraham and Rahab and really what true faith and saving faith is all about. We have to understand in the New Testament that says, and Romans 2, 8 through 10 actually puts it together for us. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith for a life of God, of good works that God has already prepared for us to do. Okay, here's our foundation for the message today. We have to understand, okay, so that you don't think that James and Paul are, you know, they're fighting against each other. They're saying they believe two different things. They don't. They believe the same thing. So our premise here, we have to understand that there is no way, no how, ever that we could ever work or be good enough to go to heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. God is a perfect being and his righteousness and his holiness. We just can't get there on our own merit. So many times it says it's not of works because then we would just be boasting about ourselves. So Paul is talking about salvation. How do you get to heaven? How do you get your sins forgiven? How do you have this relationship with God through his precious son, Jesus Christ? It says it's only because of God's grace. which means it's unmerited favor. He loves us. He loves his creation. You know, we don't have to be totally good. We don't have to be perfect before he's going to look at us and say, okay, I'll open the doors for you into the kingdom of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned. We come short of the glory of God. So that's God's grace, okay? He loves us that way through faith. So God reaches down in his grace, okay, through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. What do? We reach back in faith that I believe. I want to take that hand. I want to follow you. I accept the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, paid that penalty, okay? And we reach up in that faith and we begin to live for him. And that's salvation. See, Paul and James were coming from two different views. Paul was attacking legalism, okay? He was fighting the problem of legalism, which said, okay, you have to go through Judaistic rituals, you know, circumcision, the laws of the Old Testament. And he was saying, that's all great, that's all good, and those were Old Testament shadows of the real thing to come, and the real thing is through Jesus and explains everything through the Messiah that we were looking for. But he was attacking legalism that said you had to do all this stuff. So that's those kind of works. He was saying, no, that is not what saves you. What saves you is God's grace and our faith in him. But then the next progression is why? Well, it says to do good works. So now James, he is attacking. He's not fighting legalism. James is actually fighting laziness, laxity among the Christian community about the people who would say, oh, you can believe in Jesus Christ, accept his grace, believe in faith, and you're going to heaven. So don't worry about how you live or what you do. It's all forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven. It's all secure. You got your fire insurance, you know, against hell. So just live like you want to. He said, no, it doesn't work that way. He's going to say a true saving grace, a true saving faith, is when it's actually seen. It becomes after the grace, after the faith, then becomes a sign. Are you really living for Jesus? Have you really made a difference? Okay? He said, and I love that saying, if you were ever convicted of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Okay? And these are things we need to look within our own life. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? People, it's amazing the statistics between non-believers and believers are horribly similar, okay? Something is wrong here in premarital sex or in marriages or whatever, or with drugs. And the Bible says that we are to come out, we're in the world, but we're apart from the world, and we should be living a lifestyle that's different from the rest of the world and not be caught up in the world, even though we're a part of the world, but we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And James is saying these are all signs of true salvation, of true faith in God, okay? Let's just read this passage here. It said, what good is it, my brothers? So he's talking to the Christian community here. He's talking to the believer, the brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all part of that family. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a person claims, so he said, you're just claiming to have faith, but has no deeds. Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? So he's talking about being part of this family of God. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. You have a family. There should be some semblance of love and concern and respect for each other within that community because of Christ. If he comes to dwell us and our whole thing of Christianity has become more Christ-like, then of course you're going to be sensitive to the needs of others. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? So again, he's talking about, you know, this is the book of doing. Abraham, his righteousness, because of his faith in God, was already imputed to him righteousness because he believed God and he followed God. But then it was seen through this testing of his son Isaac, remember, on the altar, and he passed that test. And so that's what is imputed as a sign of true salvation, because he's actually doing, stepping out in that faith, okay? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. His faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Okay, so another example, Abraham and Rahab, totally two different people, one Jewish and one Gentile, one a believer and one wasn't until the spies came. But it's because she hid them and actually did something and showed her faith in the one true and living God, Yahweh, that she was protected, and to her also imputed that righteousness, even though, and she was a Gentile, because that's where true faith comes in. So he says, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So Paul comes across in fighting against legalism, says, no, you know, you're not going to get to heaven by doing certain things. But then James comes along, the brother of Jesus, says, yeah, that's true. We are saved by grace and faith in God. But the next progression, as a sign of true salvation, you're going to automatically want to do things for the Lord. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But it means you try. It means you make changes in your life. It means that you have a want to. It means that you have a love for Jesus Christ. It says you have a love for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what amazes me constantly, is people that will make this intellectual assent that there is a God, or even say a prayer, but they never come to church, they never tithe, there I said it, they never do anything for the Lord, they don't read their Bibles, they don't have a daily prayer time, they don't live in the world openly for Jesus Christ, they're ashamed to be called a Christian, though they claim to be a Christian. Gallup poll has done so many polls on this, there's millions of people that claim to be born again believers, but they're not even in church on Sunday morning. And so that's what James is saying. Something is wrong here, people. And it's called a false faith of easy believism that thinks we can just say a few words and get that protection and everything's fine. You can go out and live like you want to, and that's okay. We've been forgiven. You know, live like the world. It's okay. So it's by grace through faith for good works. Let's move on. So how do you do that? What is a real faith? What is a false faith? Well, number one, a real faith is not just something that you say. Not just something you say, because anybody can say that. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian. Anybody can say that I believe in God. And that's the first step. I mean, that there is a creator. And the Bible does say only a fool has said in his heart, you know, there's no God. There has to be a creator. There is in creation. And so he says, what good is it? In verse 14, if my brother, if he claims to have faith but has no deeds, then can such faith save him? So this claiming, a lot of people claim to be Christians. They'll say, I'm born again. They'll say, I believe in Jesus. Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who is a professor of Christianity is a possessor. Okay, do you really possess Jesus? It's easy to profess, I mean, to make that acclamation, but do you really know him? Has it made a difference in your life? Has it made a change? What makes you different than a non-believer? Do people know that you're a Christian? Years ago, Larry Flint was a publisher of Hustler, and he claimed and went openly and publicly that he was a born-again believer, that he was a Christian. Well, did anything change? No. He kept right on printing his pornographic magazines and lived life like he always did, okay? So, was he a real Christian? Well, that's between him and the Lord, but God's word says it makes a difference. It makes a change in your life. Has it made a change? Are you living for him? Is he number one in your life? If you're talking about going to heaven, that's in that community of believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you enjoy the fellowship of the believers now, you know, as a Christian? Or not. So it's anybody can say it. And he said, but that's not real faith. Okay, number two, real faith is not just something that you feel. That emotionalism, that sentimentalism. You know, you can bring people to the point of emotionalism pretty easy on Sunday, but it's what you do during the week, how you act, what we say, where we go. The mirror that we're giving out of what the Bible is about, of who Jesus is, of that Christ likeness. And he uses an illustration here. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says, "Go, I wish you well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? So it's a very definite need that's there. The person is starving to death, and you just said, "Hey, been there, done that, I'll be praying for you," and just move on. It's kind of like, you know, this is a time of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love to watch the Charlie Brown little cartoons, and on one of them, it shows Charlie Brown and Linus inside the house and looking out the window, and they're seeing poor little Snoopy just shivering in the cold and over his empty dog food bowl. And the guys are just talking about it, but they never go out there to give him anything or bring him in out of the cold. And that's what James said. And Charles Schulz actually got that that idea from this passage of Scripture. He said, so, you know, it's something's wrong there. If you don't have a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a concern there. If you were to leave church today and somebody slams their four fingers in the door and they're bleeding profusely and screaming and yelling, and you walk up and say, "Hey, I've done the same thing. God bless you," and move on. You know, that's kind of ignoring. That's kind of what he was saying earlier about looking in the mirror. You know, we just happenstancely look in the mirror and move on. He said that's not it. But the sympathy, real faith, it's more than just sympathy or feeling or emotions. It's real believers care about other believers, okay? Real faith, real believers care about other believers. This is brothers and sisters. It's pretty significant here about that in the household of faith. That's why the cults, you know, that come knocking on your door, you know, it's interesting to me when you tell them you're a Christian, you're a believer, you love the Lord, your sins have been forgiven, you're going to heaven. They don't care. That's not good enough. If it was a real true believer, they'd say, "Great, I love the Lord too. I'm glad you're active in the church where you're going," and then, you know, say, "Praise the Lord," maybe pray together and move on. But that's not what they want. They want you in their cult. They don't care if you're saved. They don't care if you're a Christian. You know, but this is what he's saying. True Christianity is that faith and that belief and that love for one another and brothers and sisters in Christ. So you should have a concern. 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can he love? How can the love of God be in him? And then 1 John 3:14 is actually proof of our salvation that says if you have love for the brethren, for other Christians, then that's a sign of salvation. Real faith wants to be around other believers. You should want to go to church. There should be something within you that has made that change. You become part of the family of God. Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by actions, it is dead. So it's more than just words. It's more than just saying. It's more than just intellect. It's more than just even feeling. You know, it's more than just having sympathy for one. It's an actual doing. And then three, a real faith is not just something you think, okay? It's not just an intellectual trip. Verse 18, someone will say, "You have faith and I have deeds." You know, it's just like he's kind of putting this scenario together in his mind. You know, I got an answer for you. You say you have faith, and it's not just an intellectual word to pass back and forth, you know, and talk about it and go in depth with it. But he says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do." So real faith is visible. Somebody once said faith is like calories. You know, you don't really see it, but you see it show up. You see the results. You know, you see the consequences of the calories there. You see the results from that. So, but he's saying, I have to see it. You know, are you really a Christian? You can claim to be, but is it seen? You know, do y'all remember Lady Clairol? I love that. They said only your hairdresser knows for sure. You know, there's a lot of Lady Clairol Christians. You know, only God knows for sure. And hopefully we know within our hearts if it's true or not. So he's saying it's a show me thing. It's a lifestyle. It's, you know, a person can say it and even have that emotionalism and think it. And they can say, yeah, health is very important to me. And if you were to ask them, well, you know, do you exercise? Well, not regularly. Do you eat you know, a well-balanced diet? No, not all the time. Do you see the doctor regularly? No, not really. Have you had your blood tested? No, not really. You know, do you take vitamins? No, I don't believe in that. So it's a sign. People can say anything, you know, but when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, are the signs there? And that's what James is saying. He's saying, can you really show me? You can talk to your blue in the face, but I want to see it. And, you know, it's not something that you just think about. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anytime a person becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. Okay? If you grab a 220 wire that's live, you're going to know it. You know, if God, the biggest thing in the world, gets a hold of you, you're going to know it. You know, it's going to make some change. So are there evidences in your life? Is there enough there to convict you of being a Christian? You know, I believe there's coming a day in America where the line in the sand is going to be drawn. Do you really believe? Or do you really act it? Do you really do it? And or privately just say it? And then 4, a real faith is not just something you believe. He said, you believe that there's one God, good, but even the demons believe that and shudder. Okay, so the word here, shudder, means to bristle, or that's when the hair comes up and stands on end, and they think, wow, you know, there's no atheist. Here's the thing, belief, the problem with the English language is there's not the right definition. We don't have enough words. You'd think we would, but in the Greek, and maybe that's why the Lord came during that time, because it was so specific. And the word belief, this is just one illustration. So the word that we have, belief, I can say I believe in Hitler, okay? Does that mean that I associate with him or believe in his teachings or what he did? No, not at all. But I believe there is a man, okay? But the word belief in the Greek means, it's not just an intellectual assent that yes, there was a Jesus. There was a historical figure named Jesus, and he was a son of God or claimed to be the son of God. The word belief actually in the Greek is more than head knowledge. It means that yes, you believe, but you believe to the extent, now I'm going to give my total being life to this person. I believe he is the savior of the world. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be his disciple. I'm going to follow his precepts, follow the word of God, do what he tells me and commands me to do, not just slough it off and say, oh, that's okay, or God will understand, or everybody else, you know, does it differently. It means that, and that's the difference. The belief that the demons has is a different kind of belief than the person that says, I'm going to follow him. They're not following him. They live in total rejection of rebelliousness against God. And so you can't just say, and there's a high degree of belief in America. People say, you can, you know, surely, yeah, they say, I believe there's a God. I believe a Christian. Do you attend church? No. Do you read the Bible? No. Do you fellowship with other believers? No. So that's what he's saying. A real faith is not just something that you think. Then what is it? Or what you believe? A real faith is something you do. Okay? This number 5 is something that you do. So then he gives the examples of Abraham and Rahab. 2 illustrations, 2 totally different types of people. Abraham is a man, Rahab's a woman. Abraham's Jewish, Rahab's Gentile. Abraham is a patriarch, Rahab is a prostitute. But bless her heart, when you study this in the Old Testament, it could just mean that she was an innkeeper. So I don't know if she's getting a bad rap here or if she was, but they were different, okay? Where was I? Abraham is a major character in the Bible. Rahab is a minor character. But the one thing that they had in common, their faith and belief in Yahweh, was to a functional degree that they did something. They took action. They didn't just say they believe, but they followed the Lord in complete faith. Verse 20, you foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar, his faith and his actions working together? His faith was made complete by what he did. Scripture was filled when it said, Abraham believed God. Okay? So the works is an outward manifestation of our true faith and belief in Jesus Christ. It's a sign of our salvation. Okay? That love for fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Rahab Well, we know the story of Abraham and how God called him to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him to the Lord. And he was willing to do that. And he talked about, use the word, we will return. And, you know, he had this faith, even if his son died, God would bring him back to life. And that was that picture, beautiful picture of Jesus on the cross and coming back to life too. But his only begotten son and God's only son, Jesus Christ. But the symbolism there. But anyway, he was faithful in that. Can you imagine how much faith that really took? You know, you can say it, but do you really do it? You know, is like that guy, George Blondin, you know, and we've heard a lot about that. Paul and I were talking the other night about how many people have gone across Niagara Falls, and you don't hear about all the people that didn't make it, you know, so I don't know. But this is a guy that made it, that went across the tightrope many times, and then he went in with the wheelbarrow, and y'all have heard the story, and how many believe I can take a man across Niagara Falls in a wheelbarrow on this tightrope, and the guy that was yelling the loudest said, get in, okay? So that's where your definition of faith and belief come to reality, come to a functional level. Yeah, this guy could yell out, yes, I believe you can do it, I can believe you can do it, but when it came down, he was the one supposed to get into it. Did he really believe, okay? And that's what he says here, that saving faith to a functional level, will we really do it? Will we really take that stand? Will we really have that courage? Will we really witness? Do we really do the things God has commanded us to do and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and all those things that he has within God's word? So Abraham did that. Rahab and Joshua too helped the spies that came in. And she realized, and God just got a hold of her, and she protected them and sent them off their way and protected. And it was because of her faith there. And she actually became part of the genealogy of Jesus. Here, a Gentile woman in that. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You know, am I really a Christian in light of what James is saying? What changes can I point to in my life? Is my lifestyle really different from what I was before I was a Christian? You know, let me reiterate this. None of us are perfect. You know, and in judging my own self, I just got to thinking, I went back to a time, and I was telling Paula this morning, I don't remember if we were married yet or still dating then. I think we might have just got married, and we're still married today. But it was a time I was at her family's house, okay? Her dad was a pastor. He was a retired pastor. And, you know, and from what I saw of his life, he was a great mentor, and he loved the people, he loved pastoring, and he loved the Lord. And so, but one day we were just over there, I forget what we were talking about, but I asked him, I said, well, what can I pray for you about? You know, how can I pray for you? And he was still pastoring then. And his response really surprised me, because I thought of him as a very loving man that loved everybody, but his prayer request was, pray that I would love people more, you know. And that just tore me up. And I think he started crying, and I started crying. But it reminded me, he's not talking about perfection here, okay, because none of us are. He's not talking about working your way to heaven, because none of us can. All that he's talking about, if you've experienced, is there a time in your life when you ask Jesus to come into your heart? Have you created that foundation of grace and faith? Then he says, start to build on it, okay? Build something on it. Show it, prove it, that knowing Jesus does make a difference in your life, that you do have a power that non-Christians don't have, okay? That there is a lifestyle and a way of living that is so much better than what the world can ever come up with, you know? So, and he says, those are our signs of salvation. So, you know, if you can live like the world and never feel bad about it, but claim to be a Christian, something's wrong, okay? And like I said, I'm not saying we live a perfect life, but what I'm saying is that we have to take that inventory of our life and what is different. Do we love the Lord? For by grace we've been saved through faith for a life of good works that God has prepared for us to do. So we have to examine our life, and we have to settle that, you know, to build that. And I believe we can know for sure. There's all these signs. There's other signs of salvation. You know, James is saying this is one of them, is that do you even act like a Christian? Do you love the Lord? Are you obedient to him? Are you doing these things? Do you have a heart for these things? You know, and that's what real faith is all about. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself if it's just an intellectual faith. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself if it's like the demons. Well, I believe in a creator, and I believe even believe one day we'll have to stand in judgment before him, you know, but do nothing about it. That's not a true belief. Belief is in the doing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And during this time of invitation, let's all just go to the Lord personally, face-to-face with God. You can come to the altar where you're at, but let's just use this time in true prayer of knowing for sure that he is our Savior, that he's come into our heart, and that we're going to follow him, and there is going to be a difference in our life. There is going to be a difference in lifestyle, in our marriages, in our homes, at work, where we live, that's different from the non-believing community. Okay. Lord, we pray for your guidance. Now, we know this takes tremendous courage in these days and to take a stand for you, and it's only through you, because apart from you, we can't do anything. Lord, we know that we're not perfect, but at least we should have the want to and be striving every day to become that new creation in Christ, that we have a strength and a power within us that's not in the world. We have the ability to make choices and against satanic influence and temptations. We don't have to succumb to everything or live like the world, but we can be above the world, even though we live in the world. And it's all possible through you, Jesus Christ, and as part of your family with brothers and sisters in Jesus. We pray that your will be done. We pray if there's anyone here that can't think of a time when they've asked you into their heart, Lord, that they would right now, at this very moment, just say, Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for that grace. And in faith, I reach back to you. And Lord, that we wouldn't just stop there, that we would follow you in complete obedience in the things that you've written down in your word to live for you, Lord, we pray. That your will be done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.